concentrating on. I wonder if you remember, anybody remember back 7 days ago to last week's sermon, what the two words were? I'll help you out. Truth and love. What 2 John's all about? Truth and love. And these two words, as we thought about last week, are not parallel lines. They're two separate things. They intersect. Truth and love go together. What we're going to do this morning is we're going to pick up where we left off. We're going to read from verse 7 through to the end, verse 13. So let's prepare our hearts as we listen to God's word. For many deceivers have gone out into the world, those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh. Such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. Watch yourselves that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting, for whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. Though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face, so that our joy may be complete. The children of your elect sister greet you. Amen. I've brought along some paper here this morning, big bit of paper, and I've brought a pen as well. What I'm going to do here this morning is actually going to knock up a little masterpiece, so would you just bear with me for a moment as I put pen to paper here. There we go. What do you think? It's a very simple drawing, just a single line right across the page. It's a very simple drawing to make a very simple point this morning. This line here represents truth. Truth is something that God has revealed to us. He's revealed truth to us through a book, through Scripture. This book that we've just read from, that's what we believe this is. This is God's revealed truth to us. And ultimately, God has revealed truth to us in a person, his Son, Jesus Christ, who said himself, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Our responsibility, if you're a Christian here this morning, if you're somebody who has responded to the truth, you've responded to the truth found in Scripture, you've responded to the person who is truth, Jesus Christ, our responsibility is to keep to the line. Our responsibility is to follow the truth. Our responsibility is to walk in the truth, as John puts it earlier on, we read last week in verse 4 of this book. Our responsibility is to keep to the line. Not to go above the line, not to go below the line, keep to the line. Some people like to go above the line. In other words, they like to add to the truth. Truth is that we find in Scripture is just not enough, so we need something else. That's the problem the cults have. They may use Scripture, they may quote Scripture, but Scripture is not enough. Jesus is not enough, so you might have another book, or maybe they say it's church tradition, so you need the Bible and church tradition, and so they go above the line, they add to the truth. God's truth, as he's revealed to us, is not sufficient, so we need to go above it. For other people, well, they like to go below the line. Let's take away from the truth. As God has given to us, well, we're not happy with that, we're not comfortable with it, so we need to take away from. Truth sometimes can be seen as outdated, backward. I've heard that word quite a lot in the past week. Some of the debates and discussions that have been going on, quite some prominent discussions about moral issues and different things. A biblical view is seen as backward. It's not in keeping with a modern, diverse, secular society. And so the temptation is to drop below the line. Let's take away from the truth. Let's make it more appealing. Let's make it more palpable for a modern society. But if God has really revealed truth to us, revealed it in a book, and he's revealed it in a person, let's not add to the truth. Let's not go above the line. Let's not subtract from it. Let's go below the line. Our responsibility is to keep to the line. Keep walking in the truth. Keep following the truth. John wants his readers to keep to the line. He wants his readers of this letter to keep walking in the truth. Now, last week we split this small book into two sections. The first bit we looked at last week was the commandment, and the commandment was based on the truth that Jesus Christ had given, and that commandment was that we should love one another. As we move into the second half of the letter, we get a warning. And the warning is to keep to the truth. Keep to the line. The tone changes dramatically in verse 7. Let's read verse 7 again. For many deceivers have gone out into the world. Those who do not confess the coming of Jesus Christ in the flesh, such a one is the deceiver and the antichrist. So what we were reading last week sounded good. It was all about loving one another. The tone changes here and moves from talking about love to talking about deceivers and the antichrist. Now, why does he change? Why does the tone change here in verse 7? Do you know why it changes? Because John loves the church. And this local church is under attack. It is in serious danger of losing the truth, of going above the line, or maybe even falling below the line, of falling into apostasy. And so out of love for a local church, he warns them. He warns them about deceivers who are coming. Now, at this point, as John writes this letter, he's probably the last of the 12 disciples, the last of the 12 apostles still standing. All the rest of the disciples, these leaders in the early church, have gone, they have died, they have passed away, they're in glory at this stage. John is probably the last one, the last apostle leader in the church. And he may be on his own at this stage, but you know what there's an increase of? False teachers. False teachers are traveling around, who are coming into these local churches, and they're deceiving people. And they're trying to get people away from the line, trying to get people to follow their lies. There's not just a handful of these people, there's many of them. Look how verse 7 starts, for many deceivers. Not one or two, there's lots and lots of them. The word deceivers here can actually be translated liars. That's what these people are. They're liars. They claim to be Christians, and they sound like Christians the way they talk, but they're dangerous. In fact, they're liars. And they're trying to pull others away from the truth. And you know what their fundamental problem is? It's not a minor issue. It's not that these people have a disagreement over worship styles or other little issues that we may talk about. There are fundamental issue problems here. That's why he describes them as liars. And the big problem these false teachers has is they don't believe that Jesus Christ came in the flesh. Yes, they talk about Jesus. They don't have a problem talking about Jesus, but they don't believe that he came into the world in human form. Now, this is serious. Because if Jesus Christ didn't really come, then he didn't really die. If he didn't really come in human form, he couldn't have really died as a human on a cross, taking the punishment for our sins. So if Jesus Christ didn't really come, then he didn't really die, and we are still lost in our sins, and we are hopeless and without a Savior. You see, the Christian faith stands and falls on the teaching of Jesus Christ. Campbell talked about this as he opened up our service this morning. And he read and he used different words to describe Jesus. He's the foundation, he's the capstone. Jesus Christ is the center of our faith. And the Christian faith stands or falls on people's teaching of Jesus Christ. We believe as a church that Jesus Christ really is the Son of God. If you come along this evening, as we're working our way through Mark's gospel, that's the point of Mark's gospel. Mark wants you to get this truth that Jesus really is the Son of God who came in human form. He came from heaven, he left the splendor of heaven, and he came and he walked this earth. He was born of a virgin, and he was a human just like us, truly human, but also truly God at the same time. And when Jesus Christ lived here on this earth, he lived a perfect life. He never sinned. He never did anything wrong. And as a perfect, sinless person, he was able to go to the cross and die a sacrificial death, to take our place on the cross and to take the punishment for our sins. And the story doesn't end there, because Jesus Christ, although he was truly human, he was also the Son of God, and 3 days later he rose again from the dead. He's victorious over sin, over death, and he offers us forgiveness and salvation. And these deceivers, these liars who have come into this church, are denying the truth about Jesus Christ. You know what the problem is? They're not just keeping this to themselves, their lies and their false views. They're going around and they're teaching others. And so John describes them here in verse 7 as antichrists. Now, antichrist is one of those words that makes you sit up. okay? Antichrist. Now, in the Bible uses the word Antichrist in slightly different ways. We think of the Antichrist who will come to the end of time, trying to draw people away from truth and reality. We think of the Antichrist figure who is to come. But the Bible also talks about Antichrists as those who oppose Christ. The word anti is a Greek prefix, and it really means against or instead of. That's what John says these people are. These false teachers, they are against Jesus Christ. Even though they might use the word Christian, they may talk about Jesus, they may use some of the lingo we use, they are actually in truth against Christ. That's why he describes them in such a stark term as antichrists. Let's think about ourselves today, though. Because there are still deceivers about. There are still people who may use the terminology, may use the language, but fundamentally they're wrong on their teaching about Jesus Christ. Here's the first question we need to ask to any preacher. Ask it of me, somebody who stands up and preaches. Ask it of any Bible teacher. Ask it of any author of the book you might pick up and buy in a Christian bookshop and read. Ask them this question: who is Jesus Christ? And when you ask them that question, when you want to find out what are you teaching about Jesus Christ, you want to see, are they keeping to the line? Are they following the truth as it's been revealed in God's Word, as it's been revealed in the person of Jesus Christ? Are they going above the line? Are they going below the line? Are they keeping to the line? Now, let's not be naive. Not everybody who calls themselves a Christian really is. Not everyone who teaches truly is. Not every Christian book you pick up in a shop really is that. Not every TV station you might flick across as you're watching television truly is Christian, even though it has the name. We need to be careful. We need to be on our guard. And John warns them to be careful. Look at verse 8. He says, watch yourselves. Watch yourselves, so that you may not lose what we have worked for, but may win a full reward. Watch yourselves. Be on your guard. Keep an eye out. Now, the only way to spot deceivers, the only way to spot liars, is to actually know the truth yourself. If you don't know what the truth is, how are you going to spot somebody who's deceiving you? And so that's why we need to spend time in the truth itself. We need to spend time reading God's Word and studying it, coming along to church and listening to sermons, going to Bible studies, learning the truth so we know what the truth is. It's the old illustration. It's often used about people who are looking for counterfeit money. The person who's trying to spot out what's a fake £10 note and what's a genuine one. The best way to know what's real and what's fake is to spend time studying the real thing. And when you know the real thing inside out, you can spot the fake at a distance. And so we need to spend time studying God's Word. As we study God's Word, it has a number of purposes. Mainly, studying God's Word is for our own edification, for building us up in our faith, in our truth, for building us up in our relationship with Jesus Christ, and building us up for our love for Christ as well. That's the main purpose, for our own edification, building us up for our faith. But as we study God's Word, it's also for our own protection. So we know the difference between truth and the difference between lies as well. The elders in a church, a local church, have a special responsibility, is to protect the church, to watch out, to make sure that what is being taught is truth and not lies, that deceivers haven't come into our midst. And then John makes a really strong point in verse 9. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Let me read that again. That's strong. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. Whoever abides in the teaching has both the Father and the Son. He uses the phrase there, goes on ahead. That phrase actually means to run ahead. The term used here in the original was a term of superiority. They go on ahead because they think they're better. They think they know more. They're not content to stay on the line. They're not content to stay on the truth. They say, listen to us. We know better. We have something more to share with you. And so they add to the truth. And they pass it on as if it is truth itself. But John gives a warning. He says, those who don't abide, those who don't adhere to the truth, those who don't stay on the line, show that they don't actually have God. They're not a true Christian. They've never, ever been born again. Everyone who goes on ahead and does not abide in the teaching of Christ does not have God. John Stott, Bible teacher, put it this way. Those who confess the Son possess the Father. Those who deny the Son forfeit the Father. It takes a while just to process that in your mind. Those who confess the Son, who confess the Son and the teaching as we found in truth that Jesus really was God who came into this world in human form, that he died on a cross for our sins, that he rose again, he offers us salvation. Those who confess that truth and confess their faith and trust in Jesus Christ, what happens? You possess the Father, you have a relationship with God the Father, you're truly born again, you're a believer, and you're given the gift of eternal life that comes from the Father. But those who deny the Son, those who deviate from the truth, forfeit the Father. You're not truly born again. You really don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. See, it's all about Christ. Christ is the fundamental. Jesus Christ himself put it this way, John 14 and verse 6. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. The only way to have a relationship with the Father is through me. And your faith and trust in who I really am and what I have really done for you as well. That's what John's saying here in 2 John. And actually what we read here in 2 John is a small summary really of what he said in greater detail in 1 John, because the same issues are covered there as well. Maybe your Bible's still open, you could flick back to the previous book, 1 John and chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, and let's pick it up from verse 21. So 1 John chapter 2 and verse 21. Same issues here. Some of the same words are used. Verse 21 says, I write to you, not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? That's what a liar is, somebody who denies that Jesus is the Christ. This is the Antichrist, he who denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Same point there. If you deny Jesus Christ, you don't have the Father. Whoever confesses the Son has the Father also. Let what you have heard from the beginning abide in you. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, then you too will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise he has made to us, eternal life. And so the two go together. If you want to know the Father, you want to have a relationship, you want to have eternal life, you've got to confess Jesus Christ, the Son of God, to be your Savior. I wonder this morning, have you ever responded to that truth? Have you ever confessed Jesus Christ to be your Savior? You cannot know God. You cannot have eternal life without responding to the truth of Jesus Christ, that he came, that he died on the cross for your sins, that he rose again, and he offers you salvation. Your relationship with God depends on your response to Jesus Christ. Have you ever confessed Jesus Christ as your Savior? If you haven't, let's do it now. Trust Christ as your Savior. But John continues in this letter with another strong warning. Back to 2 John. It's a strong warning about hospitality and deceivers. Let's pick it up at verse 10. If anyone comes to you and does not bring this teaching, do not receive him into your house or give him any greeting. For whoever greets him takes part in his wicked works. It's very common in those days to have traveling teachers, traveling preachers. A great example of that was the Apostle Paul, who traveled around lots of different areas, teaching and preaching the truth about Jesus Christ. And as these teachers, which were really common in the day, remember there was no media, you could have sent stuff out, there were no letters, there was no internet, there was no television. The best way was to travel and to communicate what you wanted to teach. As you traveled about, you were dependent on hospitality. There were inns in those days, little hotels you could stay on. They weren't always the safest place, a little bit dubious to stay in that. And so you were dependent on hospitality, stay at somebody's house for food and lodging. And part of Christian duty was to offer hospitality to those who were traveling about teaching the truth about Jesus Christ. In 1 Peter, Peter in his letter talks about offering hospitality to one another without grumbling. So if you're a Christian, that's your duty. As people come, as people go, as the believers come through your town, don't make them sleep on the street. Don't send them off to the local inn hotel. You offer them hospitality, and as you do it without any grumbling. However, here in John's letter, he stresses, depends on the person's teaching. If somebody is a deceiver, if somebody isn't sticking to the line, if somebody isn't preaching truth, don't open the door. In fact, bolt the door. Keep the door firmly closed. Don't help deceivers, because actually by helping them, you're helping them in their wicked works. Now, for some at the moment, alarm bells might be ringing in your head. You might think, well, there's a real contrast from what we heard last week to what we're actually hearing this week. Because last week we were given a commandment to love one another. Didn't seem to be any, you know, exclusivity there. It was love one another, have open arms and display love and show love to whoever comes along your path. Is John contradicting himself here from the first half of the letter into the second half? You're saying shut the door. Don't let somebody like that into your house. Is it not actually better just to open the door and to welcome them with open arms, to show them grace? And actually by showing them love, we might actually win them to the truth through the love that we're showing to them by offering them hospitality. The motivation, I believe, behind what John writes here, inspired obviously by the Holy Spirit, his motivation for this warning is one of love. Firstly, it's a love for Christ himself. John loved Jesus Christ. He had been one of his disciples. He spent 3 years of his life in his company. He was one of his apostles. He went around teaching about Christ. Christ was his Savior, and he had a real love for Christ. But not only did he have a love for Christ, he had a love for truth. Because truth taught people about Jesus Christ. And it taught people about Christ's great love for them. And because of his love for Christ, and because of his love for the truth about Christ, he says, close the door. We don't want to hear any lies. We want to protect the truth about Christ. So his motivation behind this warning is love for Christ, firstly. Secondly, it's also a love for the local church. He loves this local church he's writing to, this group of believers, a bit like us here this morning. And because he loves the church, he wants to protect them from false teaching. In a local church situation, the elders, those in leadership, have the same responsibility. The same responsibility to guard the local church. Some places, the believers, the Christians, are described as sheep. And Jesus himself, speaking in Matthew's gospel, he talks about false teachers coming amongst the sheep. And how did Jesus Christ describe the false teachers? He describes them really dramatically. He describes them as wolves, sometimes wolves in sheep's clothing. They come, they try and look like the sheep, they try and imitate them. They're not sheep at all, they're wolves. Now, when a wolf comes in the middle of a pack of sheep, what's it thinking? It's thinking dinner time. Let's devour them, let's destroy them, let's wipe them out. He's coming to kill and he's coming to destroy. Now, the shepherd who has responsibility for this local flock of sheep, this local church, what's he going to do when a wolf comes? Is he going to open the gate and say, come on in, great to see you, we love you, come on in, come in the middle of our sheep and have a good time? The shepherd isn't going to do that. What's he going to do? He's going to bolt the gate. He's going to get the shotgun out and he's going to chase the wolf. Why? Because he loves the sheep. And he wants to protect them. He wants to guard them from somebody who's coming to kill them and destroy them and to wipe them out. And so in love for the local church, you close the door. You don't let liars into the midst. And thirdly, firstly, it's a love for Christ. Secondly, it's a love for Christ's church, the local church. But thirdly, it's actually an act of love for the deceiver himself. See, to receive something like that, to welcome them into your home and to allow them to continue preaching and teaching in that area and amongst the local church is to allow them to continue in their error. Do you know what needs to happen? They actually need to be confronted. They need to be challenged themselves. Their error of their way needs to be pointed out, and it gives them an opportunity to repent themselves and to respond to the truth of the gospel. Now, let me pause here and let me clarify what John is not saying. John is not saying here that you should only allow Christians into your home. He's not saying that. So if you've got family members who are not believers, who have never responded to the truth, you have to keep them outside. If you've got friends, you've got work colleagues, don't mix with them, don't mingle them. John is not saying that. Think about Jesus Christ himself. Jesus Christ, when he lived here on earth, actually mixed and mingled with people that everybody else regarded as dreadful sinners. He sat down with tax collectors, those who were rejected by society. What is John saying here is don't help the false teachers. Don't welcome the ones who are claiming to be Christians, but are actually deceivers. Those are the ones you close the door to. They're pretending to be something they're not, and they're spreading and promoting lies. And then as John finishes the letter, he finishes it by saying that he would love to come and speak in person to this local church. Let's read verse 12. Though I have much to write to you, I would rather not use paper and ink. Instead, I hope to come to you and talk face to face so that our joy may be complete. He finishes the letter by saying, I'd love to come and I'd love to speak to you face to face. He loves the church and he wants to build them up in truth so that their joy may be complete as well. As we finish off this letter and as we finish our time this morning looking at God's word, I want us to remember the warning that John gave, not just to this local church, but to us as a local church as well. That warning that we see in verse 8, watch yourselves. Be on your guard. That's the warning that he gave. We need to be careful. We need to be careful who we listen to. We need to be careful that we keep ourselves to the line, that we don't go above it and add things, and we don't come under other people's sway and fall below the line and take things away from the truth. And as a church, Carrickfergus Baptist Church, we need to take this seriously. We need to make sure that we are a church who doesn't add to the truth, that we think we know better, that we go on ahead as such. We're superior to the truth and we want to add to it. See, we're Carrickfergus Baptist Church. We view ourselves as a Bible-believing church. Here's the reality and here's the danger. It doesn't take much for us to quickly become a cult. And I'm not saying that lightly. We could very quickly become a cult. We could add to the truth. We could distort the teaching of Jesus Christ. And in a few weeks, saying some things from the pulpit, of everybody nodding their head and going along and agreeing because the pastor said it, we could be part of a cult. And so we need to watch ourselves that we are keeping to the line. The warning, we always need to be on the guard. The other temptation isn't just adding to the truth, but actually taking away from the truth, subtracting to it. And in this heated debate at the moment, there's a lot of moral things being discussed on the television, on the internet, the big buzz topics of the day. Temptation is to take away from the truth, truth that we find in Scripture. Let's make ourselves a bit more appealing to a world outside there that thinks we're backward, who thinks we're intolerant, and so we start stripping away the truth just to make ourselves more appealing. We don't want to offend anybody. And so we take away from the truth. You might say, well, that's moral issues. The issue here that John's talking about is the teachings of Jesus Christ. And all the discussion at the moment is moral issues, but where do you start? You start dropping things out of the truth to make yourself a bit more palatable to people listening in. When do you stop taking things out of your Bible? And it actually says something very fundamental, what you believe about the truth. If you can easily subtract things, where's your authority? You just keep on going. We need to be on our guard in what we do. We need to guard the pulpit. The elders have responsibility, listening as they listen to me each week as the main primary Bible teacher in this church, that I'm keeping to the line, not going above it, not going below it. But this isn't the only place where the Bible is taught, where truth is taught here in this church. What about CB Kids? Our children are being taught at the moment. Us here parents, we sent our children across the sports hall. We've put them in the responsibility of our teachers who are teaching what we believe, what we hope is truth. Our CB Kids Monday, our youth leaders, so when our young people meet on a Sunday night, we have a responsibility as a church to watch ourselves, to make sure that what is being taught actually is truth, that people are keeping to the line. There are no deceivers teaching falsehood, because falsehood can have eternal consequences. We also need to be careful who we work with as a church. Next Sunday evening, we're joining together with two other Baptist churches, Whitehead and Green Islands. Great every year to meet up with those other churches. Those aren't the other churches that we partner with Mission Carrick here in Carrickfergus, where we meet up at Easter time. We did joint services. Next year, hopefully, God willing, we're planning to do an evangelistic mission with other churches here in the town over Holy Week as well. We also work with mission organizations. We send people out to work with mission organizations, to do summer missions. With Coaching for Christ coming, doing some outreach with us. These are other people that we're partnering with. Now, as we look at these different groups and churches and people we partner with, there may be some differences on minor issues. But when it comes to this fundamental question, we all need to be on the line. Who is Jesus Christ? And whoever we work with and whoever we deal with needs to be adhering to the truth. And as we continue, there may be times that we need to close the door. Not out of anger, but out of love. For love for Christ, we want to adhere to the truth. We want to abide to the truth. For love for Christ, we want to protect from listening to things that may distort the truth. And it's also love for people who may have wandered away from the truth as well. And so it always takes wisdom that whoever we work with are people who are keeping to the line. But what about you personally this morning as we finish off? You might be sitting there thinking, well, that's not relevant to me. I'm not in leadership of this church. That's not my responsibility to guard the truth and to see what's happening. And actually what John's writing about here isn't culturally relevant, because we live in a different world. Those days of traveling preachers going around, knocking at my door, looking for hospitality have gone. Nobody's going to come to my door because they're preaching in Carrickfergus, they're teaching falsehood, and they're wanting to stay in my spare room. So what John's writing about here isn't culturally relevant, and that's true to an extent. But let's stop and let's think about this. Let's think about what we do allow into our homes. There might be somebody rapping at our door looking for hospitality, but do we allow other things into our homes that have a detrimental effect upon our family? Do we have an open door policy that anything can come through our homes? Maybe through the media, through television, maybe through the internet, maybe through literature, maybe through other means. Things that are coming through our homes that are shaping the worldview of our family. Shaping the way our family are thinking in their minds and acting in their hearts as well. Things that are coming through our homes that encourage them to believe lies rather than the truth. Do we have an open door policy in our home where anything goes? We can listen to anything, we can watch anything, we can read anything, anything goes. Or are we careful to protect our families? If we're parents, if we have roles and responsibility in our homes, are we stepping up and teaching our families the difference between truth and lies? Are we teaching our families what is truth and what is not? Are we teaching our families to keep to the line? Or is it just an open door policy? Listen to what you want, hear what you want, and just go with the flow. That is going to have a detrimental effect upon our families. What does John say here? Watch yourselves. Be on your guard. Shut the door to deceivers. And when you shut the door on deceivers, here's what you need to do. You need to walk in the truth. You need to follow the truth. And you need to keep yourselves to the line. Let's pray. Dear Father, we thank you that there is such a thing as truth. Truth isn't vague. It's not something that's up for debate. It's up for opinion. It's your revealed truth. You reveal truth to us through your word, scripture, and you reveal truth to us through your son, Jesus Christ. We thank you that he is the way, the truth, and the life. Help us, Lord God, to base all that we believe on truth. The truth about your son, Jesus Christ, that he really came, that he really loved us, that he died on the cross for our sins, he rose again, and in love offers us salvation. And we pray, Lord God, that we might be people who continue to walk in the truth, who follow the truth, that we don't add to the truth or take away from it. Help us to be people who keep to the truth. Help us to watch out, to be on our guard. As deceivers come, as liars come, with things which aren't true, which are a distortion of the truth, help us to be careful. Help us to guard our homes. Help us to guard our families. Help us to protect our church because we love you and we want to continue following the truth. Help us to do it because we love our church and we love our families and we want them to keep following the truth as well. And help us to do it because we love the deceivers as well. We want to challenge them so that they can respond to the truth as well and know the love that comes from obeying the truth of following Jesus Christ as their Savior. Help us, we pray. Help us not to be naive, but to watch out and to be on our guard. Bless us, we pray, in Jesus Christ's lovely name. Amen.